Hello, today is the 11th of August 2006, and actually it is Martinus' birthday, who is born 116 years ago in 1890. My name is Ole Terkelsen, and we are in Martinus Center Klint, 100 kilometers from Copenhagen, and we have had two international weeks, and tomorrow is the last day of the high season. Today I'm going to give a lecture about sleep, dreams and death in the light of Martinus cosmology. Hello. The title of the lecture today is Sleep, Dreams and Death. But before I would start, I would like to ask you, do you know what day it is today? Today is August the 11th. And this is Martinus' birthday today. So Martinus was born 116 years ago in 1890. I'd like to start with a question. And you could ask, why do we have to sleep? Why shall we sleep? Because the heart has to beat anyway. The lungs has to work anyway. And the liver and the kidneys, the whole machinery is working. So why do we have to sleep? And I guess it was also a mystery for biology for a long time. But Martinus, he points out, we have to sleep because the nervous system has to be repaired. It is because of the nervous system that we have to sleep. And you could compare it to the freeway or to the railway. As long as there is a lot of traffic, you cannot repair the road or the rails. You have to stop the traffic in order to repair the road or the rails. And whenever we have an experience in life, there is an electrical current running in the nervous system from the sensory cells to the brain. And whenever we are acting, when we are doing something, there is a current running from the brain out to the muscles, telling them to move. So all the day long, when we have experiences, when we are doing something, there is currents in the electrical system, in the nervous system. So in order to repair the nervous system, the currents in the nervous system have to be stopped. And we have our day consciousness on the physical plane. But then you can move the consciousness from the physical plane into the spiritual plane. And through this process, you can stop the activity in the nervous system. And Martinus has given six examples of how the consciousness can be moved from the physical plane onto the spiritual plane. And he is talking about that takes place when we die and when we fall asleep. But the consciousness can also be moved to the spiritual plane if we are going to have an operation in the hospital with anesthesia. We can be put to sleep by chemicals or drugs. But we can also have an accident. And it's so painful that we faint. We lose consciousness. We can't take the pain. That's also a divine present when it hurts too much. Automatically, by nature, the consciousness is moved into the spiritual plane. And also, if you fall into a deep trance, you can also move the consciousness to the spiritual plane. I guess most of you have heard about Edgar Cayce, also called the Sleeping Prophet. That's also a good example. When he was laying on his couch, he couldn't tell a lot of things that he could experience in the spiritual plane. But he was not aware of what he was talking. They had to tape it on a tape recorder, what he said. But afterwards, he couldn't remember what he had said because he was not aware of what was happening on the physical plane. But he just talked from what he experienced in the spiritual plane. And a fixed way is also if he with hypnosis, the consciousness can also be moved from the physical plane into the spiritual plane. And I guess today, science could see some changes in the chemical substances in the nervous system. So there are some smaller changes in the nervous system during the sleep. Martino says that the quality of our thoughts determines how long time we have to sleep. If you have very loving thoughts, you are very positive and have very light thoughts, then you do not have to sleep so long time. I would prefer to sleep some 8, 9, 10 hours per day. So that shows something about my step in evolution. Because Martinus, he said that it was enough for him to sleep 4 hours. So very often he went to bed at midnight and he got out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he started to write very early. Some 7 years after Martinus had got his cosmic consciousness, he really started to write on his works. And then he realized if he slept too long time, if he slept until 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, his brain didn't really work. So he found out it was much better for him to get out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then his brain was working better. And he was also so sensitive that he said that there were so many sort of bad vibrations in a big city. Copenhagen was a city of 1 million inhabitants. So he felt that the spiritual atmosphere was so pure in the morning. So it was much better for him to write in the morning. And he could feel when the clock was maybe at 9, 10 in the morning that the whole city was working. But also that the whole business world was opening and people were so greedy and there were so many thoughts. He even said that he felt there was a pressure on his consciousness from living in such a big city. But he said he used the prayer and then he could sort of get rid of this pressure using the prayer. But he had very loving thoughts and for that reason his nervous system did not need so much reparation. But he points out that if we, for example, get very angry, if we get furious, that is the same as producing world wars in our microcosmos. And then the nerves are sort of worn out because we can get so angry. Martinus has made a kind of analogy in the book The Ideal Food. He is also writing about World War I. I guess it was written before World War II, but that would be the same. That if the planet Earth as a living being is getting irritated, then that would produce world wars in our cosmos. So the planet Earth is not aware of that human beings are born, that they're living, that they're dying. We are not aware of that we have cells that are born, they live and they die. We cannot feel it. But maybe if we have been very angry or very furious, maybe we can feel somewhat tired afterwards. And in the same way, also planet Earth could feel somewhat tired after World War I or World War II. So when the thinking of the macro being is producing the conditions for the micro beings. But also if you are very depressed, that is also bad and negative thoughts. And that also means that the nervous system will be worn out and you need to sleep longer. And I guess that depressed people very often have to sleep 8, 10, 12, 14 hours per day, but it doesn't really help. And maybe they get depressed from the much sleeping, or maybe when they're sleeping so much they get depressed, I don't know. But apparently there is a relationship between depression and long sleep they have to. And Martinus is also talking about natural fatigue and an unnatural fatigue. If you have worked very much, you get very tired. But that's very natural. And it can be repaired through rest and sleeping. But there is another kind of tiredness, an unnatural fatigue. And that is when you have not worked, but you are tired anyway. Maybe you have been to bed 12 or 14 hours, but you're still very tired. Then the reason is not physical activity, but that is because of bad thoughts. And Martinus says the most common error you can do in your thinking, that is that you feel you as a victim. You think that you are an innocent angel, and all the others are idiots. They are the cause to all your problems. So you feel like a martyr. You feel that I'm an angel, I've done nothing wrong. The fault is with all the others. Then you start to change the others. Don't do thy lack, and don't do thy lack, and you shall do so, and you shall do so. But after a while, you will find out you cannot change other people. You have a chance to change yourself, but why should I do that? I'm an angel. I've done nothing wrong. And then you get locked up in this situation. You get angry with the outer world. You get angry and irritated with other people, and you don't change yourself. And these negative thoughts will take all your life power. So maybe you have some joy of life or life power, but you will lose that life power with negative thoughts. But life power is the same as the joy of existence. You could almost define life power as joy of existence. If you feel life is wonderful, I'm happy that I exist, I'm grateful that I'm existing, that will automatically give joy for life or life power. But if you think you are a victim, you are treated in an unjust way, that will produce negative thoughts, and then you will become very tired. So if you want to get out of this unnatural fatigue, you certainly have to work on your own consciousness. And Martinus guarantees that this fatigue will disappear as soon as you say, I, myself, I am the cause to all my problems. I think that's the most simple thing in the cosmology. That is the law of karma. You will have to reap as you have sowed. The energies you are sending out, they are coming back. But it's so difficult to integrate in everyday life. Whenever you get irritated with another person, you have forgotten the law of karma. Because it's only your own energy that is coming back. The others are not the cause of my problems. Every problem, all illness, everything that is not pleasant, which is coming back to me, I am the cause myself. And it's so important to realize that. And Martinus guarantees that life power will start to return to the living being as soon as it says, I am the cause to my fate myself. It's so important to take responsibility for your own situation, for your own fate. But it is so difficult to integrate in all situations in life. But you can also create a talent for receiving your fate. Martinus even once gave a lecture with the title of Talent for Receiving Your Fate. And you can train and train to take your fate in a positive way. Martinus also explains it produces positive thoughts to be grateful and say thank you. So maybe if you are a depressed person with a lot of negative thoughts, you could try and use your will to use some periods to say thank you to life. Thank you because I can see the light of the day. Thank you because I can walk. Thank you because I have a good place to live. There's so many things to be grateful for. But the culmination is when you also can become grateful for the unpleasant things because you understand I am the cause myself, and the result is that I'm becoming more developed. It's an advantage for me to experience these unpleasant things that will bring me forward. Then we will get more positive thoughts, and then we do not need to sleep so much. And as I said, sometimes this unnatural fatigue cannot be repaired through sleep. Martinus has written a book called Funeral, and unfortunately it's still not translated into English. But it could also have had the title Love to Microcosmos. And he explains how the cells, our organs, our cells, the molecules are living beings. They are also our neighbor. We are talking about neighborly love. And very often people are only thinking of other human beings. But neighborly love also includes love to the animals. So Martinus recommends to become a vegetarian, because then you do not have to kill the animals to get something to eat. But you should also practice neighborly love to your organs, to your cells, to your molecules. And there are two ways that you can practice neighborly love to your microcosmos. One is through what you are taking in quite physically, what you are drinking, what you are eating, and also what kind of thoughts you have. So if you are drinking alcohol and smoking and taking drugs or taking abusing medicine and so on, you are taking in toxic substances, which is a poison. It's toxic to your micro-universe. That's not to practice neighborly love. But also the thoughts, you are practicing neighborly love when you are having happy and grateful thoughts. And if you are unsatisfied with life, if you are envious, angry, unsatisfied, irritated, you are not practicing neighborly love to microcosmos. Then you could ask, how much do I have to sleep? And Martinus, he points out that you should have so much sleep that you are waking up in a natural way. The best sleep is where you have slept without being wakened during the night, that you have been sleeping, so to speak, in one stretch, and you wake up and cannot remember anything. It's so good if you can wake up and feel, I've been long, long, long away, and just wake up. So Martinus explains that you can sleep, also that you can sleep too long, you can sleep too much. I don't know if you've had a hard work, sometimes you say, now it's Sunday, now I really want to sleep, and then you don't want to get out of bed Sunday morning, and you are sleeping over, and you're waking up, and you're sleeping over and over again, but at the end, you'll get a headache, or maybe if you are sleeping too much during the day, you would also become dizzy and get a headache. But that, Martinus says, you can sleep too much. It's not good for the nervous system that you are trying to sleep over and over again. But maybe it's a bigger problem that you can get too little sleep. And sometimes you get into bed too late, and then you have the alarm clock, which tells you when to get up. But it's very unhealthy with an alarm clock, because then you are awakened before the nervous system is repaired. And maybe you are living in such a way that you are getting to bed, you're always getting too late into bed, and you always are using this alarm clock. Maybe even after some years you don't need the alarm clock. If, for example, a man is getting up at 6 o'clock every morning according to going to his job, he starts to wake up also Saturday and Sunday at 6 o'clock. And at a certain time, he doesn't use an alarm clock. He's waking anyway at 6 o'clock. So you can force yourself to wake up at a certain time, even though you have not had enough sleep. And personally, I have it like this. If I have too much work, if I sleep too little, I'll automatically get a headache. And that is because that's too much for the brain and the nervous system, with too much stressing work and too little sleep. So it's very undermining. But it can come to such a stage where you are not aware of it. It has become a habit. You can get accustomed to sleeping too little, so you're not aware of it. But that is sort of in a way to destroy your nervous system. And in one lecture, Martinus explained that if people are born with migraine, you are born with tendencies for a terrible, strong headache. If you have that from your childhood or from your youth, that shows that you have mistreated your nervous system in previous lives, because you can sort of destroy your nervous system or make it a little bit weak, and then you can also destroy the talent kernels. So you are born with these tendencies to this headache. So it's very important to have good habits. And also you can destroy your talent for falling asleep. Maybe you are sitting in the evening and you are getting tired and you are yawning, and then you should go to bed. And actually, that is also a prayer from microcosmos. We cannot talk to the individual cells, but sometimes we can hear what the cells are saying if they have a collective prayer. So if the whole body is tired, you feel tired and you start to yawn, then the microcosmos is praying for sleep. But sometimes we ignore it and go on working on the computer 1 or 2 or 3 hours. I have to finish this before. That is not to practice neighborly love. Then you are a tyrant to your microcosmos. You are mistreating the small individual cells, it was much better to go to bed. And also, when you feel tired, you have the possibility to fall asleep in a natural way. But if you don't listen to your body, you can destroy your talent for falling asleep. And then maybe when you're very tired, you want to fall asleep, but you can't do it because you have not listened to your body. You have not had this regular life. It's very important to have a regular life and to go into bed at the same time of the day because it's much easier to fall asleep. But you can also destroy your talent for waking up. Using this alarm clock, you cannot destroy the talent. Some people, they can easily fall asleep, but then they wake up with the smallest noise. So you can also destroy your talent for waking up. So it's really a precious gift that you easily can fall asleep and you can sleep deeply until you are totally fresh. And Martinus, he says that when it's total ideal, when you wake up in the morning, you wouldn't like to continue being in bed. You think it's terrible because a new, fantastic, marvelous day is waiting for me. So as soon as you wake up in the morning, you get out in bed and you are very happy and fond of life because now you can experience a new life. If you're a little bit depressed and you wake up in the morning, you don't want to get out of bed and then you are trying to sleep over again. So that's not so good. It's so destroying if you cannot have a normal sleep. There are some people who at the end get a nervous breakdown. There are some people, they have so big problems, they cannot fall asleep. Sometimes they can only sleep maybe 2 or 3 hours per night, and then they are laying and cannot fall asleep. If such a situation continues, maybe for 1 or 2 or month or half a year, then you are sort of getting so exhausted. So sometimes it turns into a nervous collapse and maybe you have to go to mental hospital. You're so exhausted. And they have also made experience on cats and other animals. Whenever the cat is falling asleep, they wake up the cat. And if they do that for a whole week, the cat is dying because it's so exhausted. So in general, if people have weak nerves, it can be so destroying if you cannot sleep enough. So it's very, very important to take care of your talents for sleeping. And you could improve it a little bit through a regular life. And if you have problems with the sleeping, one could strongly recommend to quit drinking coffee and quit drinking black tea. Because there is this caffeine and theine, and that makes you stay awake. So if you really would improve your sleeping talent or returning to the normal sleeping talent from nature, you should avoid to drink such substances. Also alcohol and nicotine and so on, they are also toxic substances that makes that your body cannot really rest. So you could really improve a lot by doing that. And if you have a lot of physical activity, if you are going, walking, working and so, and get out in the fresh air, that's also very good for improving the sleep. That is having physical activity. And the third thing that I would recommend, that is, if you really would want to improve your sleeping talent, that should be to get out of bed the first time you're waking up in the morning. Oh, maybe I would wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. That's a catastrophe. That would be too early, much too early. But you could try to get out anyway, because then the next evening you will easily fall asleep. And maybe you would sleep some longer. So that's really a precious gift from the nature that you can sleep well. And then what are you doing when you are asleep? Martinus tells that the living being is an eternal living being, and the living being is always experiencing something. Through all 8 hours when you are asleep, you are actually experiencing something. But there are researchers who had found out that we have a so-called dream cyclus. And this cyclus is about 1.5 hours or 2 hours. That's a little bit individual. And in this cyclus, there is also a period when the eyes are moving very rapidly. They speak about rapid eye movement periods, the REM periods. And whenever a person is woken up in this REM period, they can tell about what they are dreaming. But if they are woken up in other periods, they cannot tell what they have been dreaming. So for that reason, people think that they only dream in a certain period when you are asleep, but you are dreaming sort of all the time, or you have experiences on the spiritual plane all the time, but sometimes you are so far away or in the higher spiritual worlds that you cannot remember it if you are woken, if you're woken up. And the meaning of the sleep is also that you should have some life power. The battery of your life force is recharged. You have so much electronical equipment where the batteries are going to be recharged. I guess also you have a mobile phone, and every day or every week you have to recharge the batteries of a mobile phone. But you are also having your life batteries recharged every night. And for that reason, it's important to have a good sleep. And Martinus explains that there are the physical world and the spiritual world. He is talking about six planes of existence. And here in the physical world, we know the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and maybe we have a little idea about the beginning of the real human kingdom. Buddha and Jesus, they were real human beings. But then there are also the spiritual worlds, the greater part of the real human kingdom, the kingdom of wisdom, the divine world, and the kingdom of bliss. That is spiritual worlds that we are going through during the spiral cycle. But we are also going through these kingdoms during the sleep, so we are also visiting the higher spiritual planes during the sleep. But if you are not so highly developed spiritually seen, you cannot experience so much in the spiritual worlds. You could almost compare it to a dog that is in an art exhibition. If it's a human being who is very fond of art, it can go through and enjoy all the paintings. But a dog would run through the exhibition very fastly just to see if there was something to eat somewhere. So it's trying to smell something eatable and running through the exhibition very fast. In the same way, also animals are going through their spiritual worlds very quickly. And also, if it is more primitive man of nature and so on, they cannot experience so much in the spiritual worlds. In the real human kingdom, if you have a lot of neighborly love, if you are a very loving person, have a lot of love, then you can experience more in the real human kingdom. If you have a lot of intelligence, if you are very intelligent or maybe a scientist or an inventor, you are using your intellectuality quite a lot, then you can stay longer in the kingdom of wisdom. And if you have, according to how much intuition you have, if you have more intuition, you can stay longer in the divine world. And then in the kingdom of bliss, you try to remember what has happened. In the sleeping cycle, you might be able to remember what has happened during the days. But as I shall describe later on, you are also passing these spiritual planes of existence during death. So Martinus says that sleep and death is very connected. He says that sleep is the smaller brother of death. And you go into the same spiritual worlds when you are asleep and when you are dead. And it's also very positive to think of if some of your loved ones, some of your friends and your family, they die. It could be so tragic because you have lost these nice persons. But you have the principle of reincarnation, so you can meet them in another reincarnation. But for many people, that's much too long time to wait. And then it's very nice to know that we can be together with the dead ones during the sleep. We are in the spiritual world, and sometimes people are waking up having a strong feeling, I was together with my father tonight. Although he was dead, I was together with him. I was together with my mother during the night. So that's, but normally we are not so, but we cannot remember it. Here in Martinus Center Clint, where there was teaching and discussing, people were talking about cosmology in the evening and in the early night. Martinus often said, it doesn't matter that you go to sleep. You can continue the discussion on the spiritual plane. So Martinus could see if you have a discussion, you go home and sleep, you can continue the discussion on the spiritual plane. So I think that's a very nice thought, that you can be together with the death when you are asleep. And actually, you are moving through the same spiritual kingdoms during the sleep and through during death. And Some people has come here to earth to learn a certain thing. Sometimes you have a very hard fate, and there is a lot of things that you should learn. When you are on the spiritual plane, you can have an overview. Normally, it's also described through these near-death experiences, that you go through a tunnel, and on the other side, you are received by your guardian angel. And together with a guardian angel, you are looking on your life that passed. But then sometimes people, they were clinically dead for some minutes, and then they are brought back to physical life, and then they can tell about their experiences. And to many people, that has been very important to have that kind of experiences. It's very close to cosmical glimpses, because when you are in a physical body, you are afraid of dying. You have death fear. But if you have had such a near-death experience, you're not afraid of dying, because you know there is a life outside the body. You know you have experienced this world of love outside, so you're almost looking forward to dying, because it was such a wonderful world. And that's the same in a cosmic glimpse you can experience. I am immortal. I am eternal. You can experience that love is the keynote of the universe. You can become one with the consciousness of God. And only one single experience of that kind is enough to give you inspiration the rest of this incarnation. And death fear has totally disappeared after such an experience. But in the spiritual world, you can also sort of plan your coming incarnations. Martinus talks about that typically you can remember 3 or 4 lives back in time, and then you can see a pattern in your lives, and you can see that you are in a certain evolution. And sometimes you could want to develop some better qualities. If you want to be a genius in music, you should play and play and train and train and practice. But if you want to become, for example, a humble person, maybe you should have some other kinds of experience. Sometimes you think, I'm the best, I'm the strongest, I'm the cleverest, and you're not treating the other people. You are not sort of, humility is not your problem. But if you want to get some more humility, maybe you should have a kind of incarnation where you are humanized. That means that if you have got big problems, imagine that you had a whole life in a wheelchair. Then you learn to become grateful for people who would help you to the toilet, who would help you to do that and that. Then you can become very grateful to other people. But you wouldn't feel grateful in the same way if you had an incarnation where you think, I'm the best, I'm the strongest, I'm the cleverest, and you are boasting all the time. Then you do not have this quality of appreciating the company of other people. I'm just mentioning that as an example. Maybe you have wanted yourself to learn humility, to be humble. You have really wanted it when you were on the spiritual plane. But then when you are actually in the physical world, you will have a lot of problems. And sometimes people, they can become totally depressed from all the problems and sufferings that they are having here in the physical world. And then in one lecture, Martinus pointed out that during the sleep, you can come into contact with the same energies as you had when you planned this reincarnation. That means there is some energy which shows this is good. It's unpleasant, but it is an unpleasant good. It will teach you some qualities that you really have wanted yourself. And if during the sleep you get into contact with these energies, when you wake up in the morning, you will have optimism. So that's very important with a good sleep, because then you actually can get life force and inspiration during the sleep, because you have visited the spiritual worlds and can get energy. I also think sometimes if I'm a little bit depressed or tired in the evening, I can wake up in the morning with some more optimism. And Martinus says there is a logical explanation why, and that is because we are on a summer holiday. I also hope that you have a nice summer holiday here in Martinus Center, and you feel that your life batteries are recharged, and you get a lot of inspiration through the spiritual science. But in the same way, you can also have your batteries recharged during the night. Martinus explains, if you get totally drunk, then the sleep will not have such a good quality. You can get so drunk that at a certain time you almost lose consciousness and you think that the people are showing sleeping very deeply. But dream science can show if you are very drunk, you fall asleep very heavily, maybe the first hour, but the rest of the night you get a very superficial sleep. You are not, the sleep has a very bad quality. And he says when you're so drunk, the guardian angels cannot help you into the spiritual world. Martinus explains in connection with death that when we are dying, we are meeting our guardian angel, and the guardian angel can help us into the higher spiritual worlds. And there are also guardian angels helping us in the same way when we are falling asleep. But if you're too drunk, the guardian angels cannot come into contact with that person. And for that reason, the sleep will be of a very low quality. And then also due to the alcohol, but then you wake up in the morning and you feel terrible and you have a bad headache and you don't feel fresh. But that can also not only be because of the intoxication of the body, but also because you did not get into the higher spiritual planes during the sleep. And the dream researchers also figured out if you take sleeping pills, it works almost in the same way as alcohol. The first hour you get a very, very deep sleep, but then the sleep is rather superficial the rest of the night. So that also gives a rather low quality of sleep. So there can be situations where it could be good with sleeping pills, but it's certainly not good to make that a habit to take these pills. Then you're also destroying your talent for sleeping. Actually, Martinus is not writing so much about dreams, but he is writing about it in the second volume of Livets Bog 1. Martinus wanted the Book of Life to be entitled Livets Bog in Danish, in all languages, so it shouldn't be mixed with other titles. So in Livets Bog, volume 2, Martinus is writing about dreams. And he says, you can make a science on dreams. And it was also a science in the old Egypt. You can also, when Joseph was in Egypt, he was with the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh had a dream about 7 fat cows and 7 thin cows, and there were several dreams, and he could interpret these dreams. And Martinus thinks astrology and these dreams, that was a science in the old Egypt, but then sort of disappeared. But Jung and Freud, they also had made sort of a science of dreams. Martinus explains the dreams that we can remember are a mixture of two worlds. It's a bastard. It's two worlds. You're a bastard. Yeah, it's not full breed or what do you call it. It's a mixture of two worlds. It's a mixture of the physical world and the spiritual world. And for that reason, sometimes it's very strange what's appearing in the dreams because it's an unnatural mixing of two worlds. But sometimes, if you are a researcher, you can find some symbols and find out what the dreams are meaning. So Martinus clearly says, yes, you can make a science of interpreting the dreams. But he says it's not necessary. It's not necessary to occupy yourself with dreams. In a way, it's much better if you are sleeping so deeply that you cannot remember that you have dreamt. But after Martinus' death, they found some papers in his office, and there were 2 sheets where Martinus has described a dream that he had had. So Martinus thought, if you have a strong and a clear dream, there must be a meaning. It's not by chance that you have a strong and a clear dream. So he thought then, of course, you should write it down and take care of it. There must be a meaning. So many people get a little bit disappointed with Martinus when he says you don't have to be interested in the dreams. But many people, they say, but I want to know something about myself. I want to make a work on my personal evolution. I can get so much information from my dreams. Normally, in modern interpreting of dreams, they say everything that you dreams, That's a mirror image of yourself. Everything that takes place in a dream, that is your universe. If there is a very angry and aggressive man in your dreams, that symbolizes that also in your consciousness there is an aggressive side. And if there is a very kind and loving aunt and she's so kind and nice, that is also simple that you have such a nice and kind side in your personality. So that's a little jump. There are so many different persons in your dream, but every single person is a symbol of something in your own consciousness. And for that reason, people are very fond of interpreting the dreams because they can get a lot of knowledge about themselves. Also, some animals and other symbols has a very certain significance, and it tells something about your personality. But Martinus explains you can get a lot more of information in the physical world. Yes, you can pick out some information from the unconscious. You can pick out, get out some conscious, some knowledge from the spiritual world. But it's much more important to realize I am here in the physical world for one purpose. I am here in the physical world to experience life and in order to develop. There is an evolution. The physical world is the school of life, and the meaning of the physical world is development, evolution towards cosmic consciousness. So we are sort of put in the physical world. We are in a certain school class, and there is a teaching going on here in the physical world, and there is nothing taking place by chance. Everything that you are experiencing here in life has a meaning. And Martinus said it's very important to become aware of the direct speech of life. Life is teaching us how to come on in the evolution. Then I would compare the physical world to your own classroom in school. And I would compare the unconscious, the spiritual world, to the neighboring class. So maybe you can hear, oh, there's also some teaching going on in the neighboring class. And you're trying to listen and find out. And maybe you can get a few small details from the teaching going on in the neighboring classroom. But you would not learn that much from trying to listen to the teaching in the neighbor classroom. It was much better if you were concentrated on the teaching in your own classroom. So for that reason, it's much more important than interpreting the dreams to becoming aware that every single thing that you are experiencing here in the physical world is also a mirror image of you. So maybe you're in a terrible marriage and you say, ooh, I don't want this, I'm going out of the marriage. But it was very important to know in this terrible marriage, every single thing that you experience is a mirror image of myself. And then it's not just another situation. Then you say, ooh, I don't want to have anything to do with myself. You can say, I don't want to have anything to do with my partner. That's so terrible. But it becomes quite different when you realize that it is a mirror image of myself. The psychologists are also talking about projections. If you get other angry with bad qualities with the other persons, it shows that's a bad quality with yourself. So that's the psychologists are also very close to the law of karma. So you can get so much teaching from the physical world if you realize nothing takes place by chance. The whole outer world is a mirror image of my own consciousness. So there is a parallel. Everything in your dream is a mirror image of your own consciousness. It's actually said the dream is your own universe, but also this is also my own universe. Everything that I meet, that is my own consciousness. And when you become aware of that, there is a lot of teaching. Because if you are experiencing something unpleasant, you just say, he's an idiot, he's stupid, and you want to get rid of him, and then you're going on in life. But you could take out much more information from that situation. That's my own karma. God is teaching me. Life is teaching me through that. So you could learn quite a lot from that. So that would also change your attitude. And Martinus has also explained a lot about death. And in the first place, I would like to refer to Martinus' article, Through the Gates of Death, where he explains how it is to die in different stages of the life cycles. You can die as a child, you can die in your youth, and you can die as a grown up in your manhood, and you can die when you are old. If you are dying as a child, it's not no greater problem. The children are living in a world of adventures and fairy tales. And when small children are dying, there are guardian angels who can tell fairy tales. Just like H.G. Andersen. He also good at fairy tales. And the guardian angels can tell adventures and fairy tales and histories. So they are received very well. And it's not so difficult for the children to die from the physical world and go into the spiritual world. But there starts to become problems if you are dying in your youth. There are so many young men, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, who have been killed in the war. There are also many who have had car accidents or accidents with a motorbike, and suddenly they are risen out of the physical world and put into the spiritual world, and they do not understand what is happening. Death is the biggest surprise in life, because the first thing that you are experiencing when you are dead, that is that you are alive. You will have exactly the same thoughts after you are dead as you had before. There are also many clairvoyants who during the war had seen that there are some soldiers, they are attacking the enemy, but then one of them is shot dead, but he doesn't know that he is dead on the spiritual plane. He's still attacking, he's still running with his gun, but his body is left there. He don't understand that he is dead. And Martinus explains in this book, Through the Gates of Death, that then the guardian angels can make a lazarette, they can make a little a hospital, and then Red Cross and doctors and so on, and then they realize, oh, maybe I've been wounded, or what has taken place, and so they understand there's something special taking place, and in that way, the guardian angels can help the killed soldiers to become aware that they have been killed. But normally you wouldn't... I also heard about a story about Nagasaki and Hiroshima when the bomb was falling. There was a class of small school children. They were walking on their way to the school, and then they were killed on a bridge or on the road, and they were dead. But this clairvoyant could see that in the spiritual world, they were still walking to school. They did not realize that they had died. There was also a book written by the spiritist about a man in London. We could call him Mr. Jones. He was a very good man. He was going to his job every morning and doing all his routine works, but then he suddenly died. But he didn't realize that he had died, so every morning he still went onto the bus, and he was very puzzled. He wondered very much that he did not have to have a ticket. He didn't, the driver didn't care if there was a ticket or not, so he was very puzzled by the fact that it was not necessary with a ticket. And then one day he saw another person. He did not either. He didn't use a ticket. So he started to talk to this person who didn't have a ticket. Then this person said, I'm your guardian angel. I've come here to take you away. Come with me. Now we are leaving. No, 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 Mr. Jones said. We have to wait for the next stop. Because he was still so much in the thinking of the physical world, so he couldn't imagine that you could get off the bus on the spiritual plane. So sometimes you are locked up with the conditions on the physical world. You do not understand that you are dead, so you are continuing doing the same things as you did before. And sometimes you can repeat and repeat it. So, for example, if there has been a car accident, or a young man has died in an accident with a motorbike, on the spiritual plane, he cannot understand what happened. Then he's repeating, I drove out of the town and over the bridge and to the right, and then he cannot understand what happened. He was killed. Then he's repeating, I drove out of the town, over the bridge and to the right. And he can repeat and repeat and repeat the main thoughts, the same thoughts. So people who are clairvoyant or mediums, when they come to such a place, they can tell, here, once an accident took place, because there is still some energy, because they have been repeating and repeating this pattern. Martinus is also talking about how it can be when you are dying in your manhood. And to put it a little bit short, it also depends on your capacity of practicing neighborly love. If you are a very egoistic person, it's more difficult to die, because if you want to make profit and you are very occupied by very physical things, how to produce these things, how to earn a lot of money and so on, then you go on thinking in the same way in the spiritual world. And that can also be a quite unpleasant thing. But if you are thinking about, no, if you are a loving person, you are practicing neighborly love, you're helping other people, it's much easier to die, because the keynote of the spiritual world is love. And if you are a loving person, you are almost at the same wavelength as the spiritual world, so it's very easy to enter the spiritual world when you are on this wavelength. In the old Roman church, the Catholic church, they were talking a lot about the purgatory. That means there was a zone after death where you were treated in a bad way. And some in the Catholic church thought that they had been sinners, and then they would go to hell, and then the devil would be there, and there would be burning and fire and sulfur, and it would be a terrible state. And Martina says, yes, there is something about it, because when you die, you will have the same thought after death as you had before. What happens when you die is the body is dying. The five senses is shut out. When you don't have the physical body, you cannot see anything in the physical world. When you don't have physical ears, you cannot hear anything in the physical world. So when you're dying, the outer physical world is disappearing. What is left? Your thoughts and your consciousness. And then in the spiritual world, the thoughts is the outer world. That means you live in a world of your own thoughts. And if, in the worst case, you commit suicide, you are so depressed that you cannot see any other solution as taking your own life, then your thoughts are very dark and gray. And then this person who has committed the suicide will continue in this plane of black and dark thoughts. There is a film with a famous actor, Robin Williams, called What Dreams May Come. And he was an artist, and he loved painting, and his wife loved paintings. And when he died, he also came into a world of paintings in a paradise. And later on, the wife committed suicide. And then she came into this purgatory zone, in this gray, dark zone where people come that have committed suicide. It was very interesting to see it on a movie, in a film, but it was really pictured how terrible it could be in such a world. But it's not a devil that is torturing you. It's only that you have the chance to experience the consequences of your own thoughts. If you have black and negative thoughts, you are in a black and a negative world. So in one way, it's an advantage to be here on the physical plane. Because even though I'm depressed, the sun is shining, the flowers are beautiful, people are laughing, there can be a lot of light things in the outer world, even though if I have a dark consciousness. But when you die, there is no help from the outer world. The guardian angels would like to help people that had committed suicide. But normally people, they are so occupied by their own negative thoughts that the guardian angels cannot come through. Martinus has not talked about the time, but I would guess that you might be able to stay for 1, 2, 5, 10 years in this purgatory zone. You can stay as long as you want in your own negative thoughts. But if you come to a point, you say, what is this? What has happened? I must be dead. I want a change in the situation. I want another life. Then the guardian angel will come and help you, and you can get out of this situation. But the best thing is to die from age. And it's a natural cycle. And it's so good to die from age. And Martinus say that you could even start to practice to learn to die in the right way. Because every night when you are falling asleep, you are actually practicing how it is to die. And Martinus really recommends a prayer before you're falling asleep. And you can also think about all the things that you have experienced during the day. And it's so good and so blissful if you can say, I'm so grateful. Thank you for all the nice things that I've experienced during the day. But if you also can say thank you for all the unpleasant things, because you know that's my karma, it's an advantage for me, it helps me in the evolution, life and God is turning me into a Christ being. So you should really be very grateful for all the problems you had during the day. And then you are on the same wavelength as the spiritual world. You can say thanks to God, to life, you are grateful and in a good mood. Otherwise, I could recommend you, before you fall asleep, to read an article by Martinus. There's so many people who say that have been reading an article by Martinus, and they're falling asleep. Because when you are reading an article by Martinus, you also get into this very high vibrations and this world where you can see everything is very good. So if you have that vibrating in your consciousness before you are falling asleep, everything is very good. It's so easy to fall asleep, and you can almost directly go into the higher planes of existence. So it's the same at the end of the life. Some people are so bitter and angry and unsatisfied, and then it can be a little bit negative to die. Martinus is comparing it to the sunset. When the sun is going down, we know that the sun is not stopping to exist because it disappears in the horizon, but it is rising and shining on other continents of the earth. We know in the same way, when a person is dying, the person is not disappearing like the sun is not disappearing, but this person, its sun is shining on other continents. And Martinus says it can be such a beautiful process to die. Martinus says it's wonderful to die. It's, if you are old or if you are very ill, it's so wonderful to die, to get rid of this worn out body. It's such a wonderful process. So when Martinus is writing about death, you almost want to die, because he described it as it's such a wonderful process. And if you are very old, you are thinking about your life, you feel grateful for everything you have experienced. You can say thank you for everything, and you are so satisfied, and you are so sort of fed up with experiences from life. At the end, you just simply want to rest. You just simply want to die. And then the death could really be compared to a beautiful sunset. Thank you for today.